well-known CPT theorem that states that for a quantum field theory formulated on a flat space-time, assuming Lorentz invariants, locality, unitarity, you must have CPT invariants. Therefore, the meaning of testing CPT is actually probing our fundamental assumptions in our present understanding of particle physics. And attempts to extend CPT theorem to curved space-time to include gravity have been done, but for sure, in some cases, in some models in which you have non-trivial space-time topologies, like the space-time foam in a quantum gravity framework, you could have the appearance of CPT violation. However, there is no predictive theory incorporating CPT violation, so you have to test, you have to constrain the parameters of phenomenological models with experiments. This is fundamental. So the consequences of the CPT symmetries are, as well known, the equality of masses, lifetime, and so on. And among the physical systems that one can use to test CPT invariants, for sure, neutral meson systems are one of the most intriguing ones in which, for instance, CP violation has been discovered in neutral kaons, and the introduction of the strangeness quantum number, and the discovery of direct CP violation, and so on. So it's very a very interesting system, quite unique. And if one takes as a figure of merit the fractional difference between the masses of particle and antiparticle, one can look at the list on the PDG booklet and see immediately that if one takes this fractional difference as a figure of merit, the neutral kaon system is by far the place in which you can measure this difference with an extreme precision. At the level you bound this difference at the level 10 to the minus 18. The second system in which you can bound this difference of masses is the neutral B system, the B meson system. I mean the BD, sub D system. So in the following, I will focus on the neutral kaon system that is. I mean, I'm working especially on the kaon system, but I will try to illustrate also the possibilities to test the CPT in the neutral B meson system. And to avoid confusion, I will put a red K in the slide when I'm talking about kaons, and a green B when I'm talking about B meson systems. Okay. And if you look at the list of other tests, you see that the precision level is much lower than this. However, okay, if you take this figure of merit as a reference. Let me just very briefly remind you, okay, that the K0, K0 mesons would be stable, but due to weak interaction decay, and they can decay in a common final state, so you could have the strangeness oscillations, well-known strangeness oscillations, and so you could have the probability starting from a K0 to, okay, you have an oscillating probability as a function time to find the K0 at a later time, and also you can have the probability to discover an anti, to measure an anti-K0 starting from a K0. And the classical analog is the one, I mean, is the two weakly coupled pendula in which you have the two eigenmodes. And you call these again modes K short and K long, and one of the two is more is damped than the other. And in this case, okay, this is almost a joke. You can discover a mechanism that, in this case, the friction of the paddle in this liquid that actually damps more one mode than the other. Okay, to go more on the formal on the formal approach for the time evolution of a generic superposition of k0 and k0 bar, or you have to introduce an effective Hamiltonian that is non-Hermitian. And when you diagonalize this Hamiltonian, you have the two eigenstates that are the two physical states that behave exponential in time, that we call k short and k long because there is a big difference in lifetime between these two eigenstates. And they are the states with definite masses and lifetime. You can write them as a function in terms of the flavor or strangeness eigenstates k0 and k0 bar, or in terms of the CP eigenstates k1 and k2. And this epsilon parameter here, a complex parameter, signal a small CP impurity in the states that is at the level, was measured at the level of 2 × 10⁻³. Actually, this small impurity, the CP impurity, can be different for the two physical states, can be different for k short and k long. And this difference is coded in the complex parameter delta. And delta is related to the difference in the diagonal elements of the effective Hamiltonian and signals CPT violation in the system. In a sense, delta is the CPT violating part of the CP violation parameter. Okay? So this is so to measure, I mean, to search for CPT violation in the neutral count system means to try to measure this parameter, to bound this parameter, or to measure it different from zero. So note that here appears the difference of the eigenvalues, that is the difference of the masses of the two eigenstates and the difference of widths of the two eigenstates, that is quite, I mean, the splitting of the states is quite small, just because, okay, all this is due to weak interactions. So you see that the splitting is of the order 3 × 10⁻⁵ GV, and the difference in widths is of the same order of magnitude. Okay, so extremely small mass splitting. Concerning the B-meson system, a similar formalism can be introduced. The difference in this case is that, okay, the mass is 10 times the one of the kaon. The difference in mass is 100 times with respect to the kaon, the widths also. The difference of widths for the B-meson is really smaller than it was. We have some limit, experimental limits, but we still do not have a measurement of the difference. And because essentially in the B-meson system, we do not have a short lifetime and a long lifetime. The lifetimes of the two physical states are practically equal, due to, okay, the phase space that is almost the same for the two eigenstates. And okay, from some calculations, you can get this ratio between delta gamma and delta m. Okay, for the to express the CPT violation in the B-meson system, okay, there is, tradition, let's say, different slightly different definition of the parameters. So in this case, the parameter is Z instead of delta. It's always a complex parameter, and the expression is very similar to the one of delta. You see with there is just a minus 2 delta in this case. Concerning CPT violation, there is really a similarity. Now, let me illustrate what I call the standard test of CPT symmetries. Just let me illustrate the measurement of, the search for this parameter delta different from zero in case of the kaon system. Actually, there are other parameters, CPT violating parameters that can be introduced and have been measured. And also these are called the standard CPT tests, but I don't want you to bother you with a too heavy formalism. The important parameter actually is delta. So delta, the real part of delta was measured by the Cipillier collaboration doing an experiment preparing kaons in a K0 or K0 bar state and looking at the time evolution of these states and then decaying these states, these kaons, in semileptonic decay. Semileptonic, so with a lepton plus or a lepton minus. Then one can construct this asymmetry from the experimental, the measured experimental rates. The important point is that this asymmetry for large times has a limit, goes to 8 times the real part of delta. So here you see the experimental data from this, fitting this asymmetry. From this part of the fit of the asymmetry, one can deduce this limit. I mean, can measure the real part of delta consistent with zero with a precision at the level 3 × 10⁻⁴. Roughly. Okay, this is the best measurements concerning real part of delta. What about the imaginary part of delta? Well, in this case, one can exploit a fantastic trick that was introduced by Bell and Steinberger, because one can just impose a unitarity in the sense that one can start from a generic superposition of K-short and K-long and impose unitarity as is written here. Now into the norms of the state equal to this sum over all possible final states of the decay amplitude. From this relationship, one gets two trivial equalities, but one non-trivial, that is the so-called Bell-Steinberger relationship, that is this one from the gross terms of this relation. Now, from this relationship, one can measure. I mean, you see, look at this relationship. This part at the right-hand side of the equation contains all measurable quantities, decay amplitudes, widths, and also this part contains all measurable quantities. This means that one can collect the best data from the past experiments concerning branching ratios, lifetimes, these ratios of decay amplitudes that were measured, collect the best measurements of this, plug in this equation, and is able from this equation to deduce a value for the imaginary part of delta with extremely high precision, approximately 1 × 10⁻⁵. Yes. Well, with interference experiments, you can measure the phases, the absolute value of phases. Yes, or for instance, because you have there are some important contribution. For instance, the 2π decays, and one there knows everything. Phases and absolute values. In some cases, one do not have the measurement of the phase, but can bound saying, okay, just maximize with the modulus, with the module, but is, if the contribution is small, can is affordable. And in fact, you obtain a good precision in the imaginary part of delta. Actually, from this relationship, you can also evaluate the real part of epsilon, but we are interested in delta. Okay, and this is the trick that was used to measure the imaginary part of delta. Now you can combine the two measurements. And if you combine the two measurements and display them in this plot where you have the difference of widths and the difference of masses of the two of K0 and K0 bar, you see this ellipse is the result. You have a strong correlation because actually the imaginary part is measured much better than the real part. The imaginary part is along this direction of the ellipse. Okay, so now, if you assume that the difference of widths is zero, you do not have CPT violation in the decay, you end up, you stay on, along this line, in this plot, so you can bound the difference of masses at the level 5 × 10⁻¹⁹ GeV. That is the bound I quoted at the beginning of the talk, no? Because if you divide for the Kelvin mass. And so this is the result. Okay, what about the B-meson system? Okay, studying the time evolution similar observable in the B-meson system, okay, these two experiments, Babar and Bell, measured this, both the real and imaginary part of Z. And doing essentially the same trick, you can arrive to this difference of masses from these results, that is 5 × 10⁻¹⁴ GV, that is exactly the bound I quoted at the beginning of the talk, if you divide for the B-meson mass. Can you apply here the Bernstein-Bergen relationship and so use that trick to improve the precision of imaginary part of Z? Well, in principle, yes, because you, I mean, formally the system is identical and you could apply the Bernstein-Bergen relationship. However, in this case, you have hundreds of decays, while in the case of, of the decaons, you have tens, and the main contribution are for from three or four decays. In the case of B mesons, you have so many contributions that in the end is useless to use the Bernstein-Bergen relationship because you do not gain in precision. So, I mean, too many measurements with some of them with low precision, so is useless. Okay. Now, I would like to discuss some tests that can be done with entangled mesons. Entangled mesons are produced, for instance, entangled kaons are produced typically at a phi factory where you have, okay, a phi factory is an E plus E minus collider running at the phi meson as a phi meson resonance, and the phi decays with a large branch fraction into K0, K0 bar pairs. And so you are copiously produced K0, K0 bar pairs at phi factories. And the pair is produced in a coherent quantum state due to the phi quantum numbers. That is this anti-symmetric combination K0, K0 bar minus K0 bar K0 that you can express obviously also in terms of the physical eigenstates, k short, k long, minus k long, k short. It's very similar to the singlet state in two-spin one-half particles. Formally, it's identical. Okay, and okay, the two kaons at phi factory are produced, the phi meson is produced almost at rest, so the two kaons are almost back-to-back. Okay, the phi factory I'm talking about is the only one working, actually the unique phi factory ever built in Frascati near Rome, and it's called Daphne. And the CLO experiment at Daphne collected 2.5 inverse femtobar in the years between 2001-2005, collecting 2.5 billion K-short K-long pairs. You see here some picture of the accelerator, inside the accelerator, and the detector. The detector is a quite standard detector for a collider experiment with a large drift chamber surrounded by a calorimeter, both inside a superconducting coil, providing an axial magnetic field. What about B-mesons? B-mesons are produced at B-factories. There is an important conceptual difference, that is the upsilon for S that at which the B-factories work are produced with a quite important boost. So actually the B-mesons are produced boost along a fixed direction is like having almost a beam of B mesons. Both mesons go in almost the same direction. OK. Okay. While at a phi factory, you have the two kaons that goes one opposite to the other, almost. Okay, apart a small boost. I mean, the boost of the phi is small, while the boost of the epsilon usually is large. But why is large? Because they want to improve the resolution on the decay vertex of the B mesons. So they boost the B mesons, so it's easier to measure these vertices. And the two experiments, there are two B factories. There were two B factories working. One is Babbar, the other is Bell. Okay, coming back to kaons. So what can you do at the phi factory with an entangled pair of kaons? You do interferometry in the sense that you can compute by standard quantum mechanics the intensity, the double differential time distribution to get, for instance, a kaon decaying in the final state F1 at time T1 and the other one decaying at time T2 in the final state F2. You can compute and you discover this interesting interference term. And then where these eta parameters are actually the ratios of decay amplitudes of decay long over decay short. And for different choices of the final states, you can measure the quantities that characterize the kaon system, like the lifetimes, difference of masses, this eta, and the phases. Actually, one works with one-dimensional histograms integrated in the sum of times. So one has this distribution as a function of the difference of times, and you see for different final state choices, you have different interference pattern in this delta t distribution, this difference of time distributions. So there is one case really very interesting. That is the case in which both kaons decay in the same final state. And the easiest final state to detect is pi plus pi minus. So when you have two kaons that decay both in pi plus pi minus, the expected intensity distribution as a function of delta t of the difference of time has this behavior. Actually, delta t here is the absolute value, the difference, because we do not distinguish between one and the other. It's the same final state. So this characteristic behavior that goes to zero for zero different difference of time. This is the well-known, Einstein-Podolsky-Rose correlation that prevents the two kaons from decaying at the same time in the same final state. No, it's like you have a completely destructive quantum interference in this case, and it's like this kind of decays in which both kaons decay, both in pi plus pi minus at the same time, are forbidden simply by quantum mechanics. You have this completely destructive quantum interference, even though the two kaons are quite far apart. Okay, so this suggested to do some simple test of quantum coherence on this system. Because if you start, again, with the entangled kaon pair in this antisymmetric state, as you produce a phi factory, you express the distribution as a function of the difference of time as two quadratic terms and an interference term. You can naively modify this distribution adding 1 minus zeta, a factor in front of the interference term, where zeta is called the decoherence parameter. If you have zeta equal 0, you have exactly quantum mechanics. If you have zeta equal 1, you have a total, an incoherent mixture of the states, a total decoherence, and you can have a situation in between. And so you could test, in a sense, you could verify how is the value of this zeta experimentally. However, just coming back to what you expect when you introduce this zeta parameter, This is the distribution as a function of delta t. When if zeta, the zeta is different from zero, you see that you start deviating from zero in this region. Means that you do not have a completely destructive interference in this case, and you start to fill the hole at delta t equals zero. Now, with the Clough experiment, we measured this distribution, analyzing 1.5 inverse phantom Barnard data. You see the result in this plot here. The dots are the experimental data. And we fitted this experimental data, this distribution, taking into account, obviously, all the experimental effects. Here, the important experimental effects is the delta t resolution. So don't worry if you don't see that the distribution goes to zero for zero difference of times. It's not, it's not a violation of quantum mechanics in this case, but is an experimental effect that you have to take into account. And when you take into account a fit this distribution, you bound the zeta parameter at the level of essentially 1 × 10⁻⁶. That is a quite impressive precision for this kind of test. So you bound this decoherence parameter at this level. Actually, why you have such a high precision in this case? Because you have a an interplay with CP violation. I'm going to describe it in the next slide. The important point I would like to underline is that, okay, compare this measurement compared with the previous analysis done with the small statistics and also looking at not CP suppressed decays was done by the Bertman and co-workers, and they found actually a zeta parameter compatible with zero but with a poor precision. So now what is important here is that we obtained such high precision just because we are looking at a CP suppressed decay. And I want to underline that this kind of test of quantum coherence for an entangled system is just the best. You are weighting essentially the interference with respect to the quadratic terms. So this kind of precision is the best precision achievable in any entangled system. Also, if you look at experiments with photons, where they perform beautiful experiments with interference, Bell's inequality, whatever you want with entangled photons. However, the precision they get in the analogous parameter, like the coherence parameter, is roughly 10⁻³, 10⁻⁴. So this is actually the best precision one can get. Why we get such a high precision? Because the coherence parameter depends on the basis in which decoherence mechanism is specified. In a sense, start from the state in the k short k long basis. I would like just to intuitively explain why we have such a precision. So start from this state. Obviously, as we are looking at decays in pi plus pi minus and pi plus pi minus, one of the two states is a K-long. A K-long decaying in pi plus pi minus is suppressed by CP violation. This eta parameter, that is ratio of the decay amplitudes, is of the order 10⁻³. So it's obvious that this is suppressed by CP violation. When you go to a decoherence, that means you have an incoherent mixture of these two states, even in this case, you have a suppression by CP violation because you have a K-long in both cases. No, so also in this case, you have suppression. However, when you try to see the phenomenon in the K0, K0 bar basis, for standard quantum mechanics, nothing changes because quantum mechanics, the result does not depend on the basis. So it's still suppressed by CP violation. However, if you have a decoherence active, you have a mixture of K0, K0 bar, K0 bar, K0. And now you do not have the suppression by CP violation. I mean, the ratio of the amplitudes of K0 and K0 bar in pi plus, pi minus is not suppressed. I mean, you can regard the K0 as a combination of K short and K long. The K short component can decay easily in pi plus, pi minus.
So your decoherence regenerated the K short.
In some sense, yes, because no, is exactly, exactly. And so you have such a huge, I mean, you have a CP, you are looking at a CP suppressed channel, but if the coherence acts, is not suppressed by CP violation. So in a sense, you have in this picture, when you have the coherence parameter different from zero, this curve immediately goes up because of this enhancement effect due to CP violation. Okay, I hope to have explained why we had this precision. In what happens in the Bib meson system? So a similar, okay, now you can construct an asymmetry with looking at the opposite sine dielectron and same sine dielectron events. You can construct this asymmetry. You have this prediction from quantum mechanics. Measure this distribution and see that okay, you have an agreement with quantum mechanics. So you can modify this by introducing in a similar way the decoherence parameter, and you find this decoherence parameter that is compatible with zero, but a level 6%, much worse. Now, look, here you are not observing a CP suppressed decays. No? You are looking at the D-lepton events. So there is no CP suppression mechanism that can enhance the sensitivity on Z, on zeta. And also, but what would happen if you were looking to a CP suppressed, I mean, to a CP final state? Actually, in the B-meson system, CP violation, when you have CP violation is a huge phenomenon. It's not a tiny. So in a sense, the ratio of the heavier of the two physical eigenstates, the heavier and the lighter, the ratio into a final state with a specific CP value is not 10 to the minus 3, it's large. So you do not have this suppression mechanism that you can have in the count system. Okay?
I understood the opposite. Ah, the ratio is order one. Sorry.
Order one, no? Because you have the two, I mean, you cannot distinguish between the two physical eigenstates in the B-meson system, because the CP violation, when it occurs, is large. So you can have the equivalent of K long that decays with the branch fraction quite large into a CP opposite, in a CP opposite final state. So, okay, so this is the reason why in the B meson system you can have this enhancement that you have in the Keon system. So, coming back again to the Keon system. Now that I illustrated this simple test of quantum coherence, I mean, you can introduce decoherence in a more formal way, just introducing the formalism of the density matrix, and you can modify the standard quantum mechanics evolution. So you can modify the Liouville von Neumann equation, adding this extra term that induces coherence, that means that you have a transition from pure to mixed state. Now, with this formulation, several years ago, was, proposed that you could have a possible decoherence close to black holes by Hawking, a famous argument. And so this suggested that also at macroscopic level, you could have in a quantum gravity picture some decoherence effect, which, and there is a theorem that says that, would necessarily entail a CPT violation. So a phenomenological model was proposed by John Ellis, Mavromatos, and co-workers, in which you can describe this kind of decoherence in the neutral chaos system. Now you have, in this phenomenological model, there are three new CPT violating parameters that induces this decoherence. And these three parameters, called alpha, beta, and gamma, have mass dimension. And in, let's say, quantum gravity framework, they could be at most of the order mk squared over m Planck. So 2 × 10⁻²⁰ GeV. This is at most what you can expect for these parameters. Now you can measure these parameters looking at the time evolution of chaos. This was done in 1999 by the Cipillier experiment looking at single chaos evolution. And they bound the parameters at this level. You see that the gamma parameter, they reached a precision 2.5 × 10⁻²⁰ GeV. And you can do the same trick with entangled chaos, looking again at the same distribution as that I shown before. And in this case, Chloe performed this feat imposing the complete positivity hypothesis that reduces the three parameters to a single one independent parameter gamma. In this case, the result from Chloe is gamma bounded at the level 1 × 10⁻²⁰ GeV. So I would like to remark the fact that this 10⁻²⁰ GeV is already in the interesting region for this kind of test, because, okay, is and this 10⁻²⁰ comes from the precision on the decoherence parameter, essentially 10⁻⁷ × 10⁻⁶ divided by delta n, okay, or multiplied by delta n, okay. But with entangled chaos, with entangled states, you can do also a different kind of test of the CPT symmetry, because in case in this framework in which you have the coherence induced by quantum gravity, you could have the CPT operator ill-defined. And so you could revise, you should revise the definition of the particle-antiparticle states. And in the end, you could have a breakdown of the perfect correlation you have imposed by both statistics in this kind of events, in the sense that the perfect antisymmetric state that you have at a phi factory could have a small symmetric part induced by CPT violation, this kind of CPT violation, with the parameterized by this complex factor omega. And you can write the state, the same state also in terms of the physical states. So you could add a term that contains k short, k long. In this framework, you could expect, again, at most, the order of magnitude of this omega, parameter omega, the absolute value is of the order 10⁻³. And doing the same trick of maximize the sensitivity looking at the CP suppressed decay channel, pi plus, pi minus, that in this case it means that, for instance, this term k short is not suppressed by CP violation. And okay, and here is is shown how is modified the delta T distribution in this case. So fitting again the distribution I showed before, now with this different model, obviously we fit once at time, because otherwise two, three parameters, and okay, is not possible. However, you fit again the same distribution and obtain these bounds for the real imaginary part of omega, already at the level few × 10⁻⁴. So you are already in the interesting region, okay, expected at most for quantum gravity framework. What you could do in the CPT violation In the B-Meson system, you can do a similar test looking at these same sign dilepton events. And if you have omega equals zero, this asymmetry is independent of time. But if omega is different from zero, acquires a time dependence. So these people try to look at time dependence in this asymmetry in the data of Babar and Bell and put a bound on the real part of omega at the level of 1% essentially. Again, as I told you before, here you do not have this boost due to CP suppression mechanism. The third and last class of tests one can do is the search for Lorentz CPT symmetry violation. In this case, one can use, I do not have to introduce, yes, five. Okay. One do not have to introduce the standard model extension to this audience. You can have a violation of CPT symmetry and Lorentz violation. The important point in this case is that the delta parameter, the complex delta parameter, depends on the Kaon momentum. And from this parameter delta mu, four parameters that are associated to, the standard model extension terms. And these four parameters can be measured at a phi factory. Actually, at phi factory, so one can measure delta as a function of the direction, as a function of the direction of the Kaon in the space. If you take as a reference frame, a fixed reference frame with the z-axis parallel to the rotation axis of the Earth, you can express the delta parameter as a function of the momentum and the CD real time in this form. So you have oscillations.
What is the delta parameter?
The delta parameter is always the CPT violation parameter, the one that I showed before for Kaons. It's the delta that now acquires a dependence from the momentum and the CD real time, just because of the rotation of the Earth.
I was asking, how does it appear in this SME model?
The delta?
Yeah.
The delta parameter in the standard model extension appears in the same way with an effective Hamiltonian approach. The Lorentz violation comes from the interaction with an external field. Okay, so in this case, at FI factory, apart the rotation of the Earth, one can exploit the additional dependence on the polar azimuthal angle of the Kaon in the laboratory frame. A fixed target experiment, you cannot exploit all the direction. While FI factory, as counts are emitted not exactly isotropically, but with this angular distribution. However, you can explore all possible directions. It's like having a telescope that you can point in several directions in space. Now, you can exploit neutral Kaon interferometry just to measure this dependence of the delta parameter in this way, because when you have delta T distribution with the interference, from the asymmetry, a small difference of time, you can get information about the ratios of the eta parameters, while from large delta T, you can get information about the ratio of the squared, absolute value squared of the eta parameters. Now, concerning the usual case of the two Kaons with decaying in pi plus pi minus, so you have the eta parameter that if you do not have a difference of the delta of the CPT violating parameter between the two, the eta is the same, you do not have dependence from this. But if the direction, I mean, if you have a CPT violation of the kind of the standard model extension, the two kaons experience different CPT violation due to the fact that one is going backward with respect to the other. They are experiencing different directions, and so different CPT violation, they have a different value of the CPT parameter. So you can get information about the imaginary part of the difference of delta over epsilon from looking at the asymmetry of this distribution, while from the real part of this ratio you cannot have information, essentially because you expect delta to be orthogonal to epsilon. So you do not gain information from the, this distribution at large delta t. So you have to look at the distribution close to zero to get information about this, the difference of the deltas over epsilon. So we perform the experiment, and okay, we we distinguish in this case from the kaons going in the forward direction or in the backward direction, and we were able to measure the three parameters, delta x, y, and z, just looking at the asymmetries in the polar angle and the behavior of this distribution as a function of the CD real time. Okay. We have refined, these were a preliminary result by Chloe. We have refined this analysis just to not to wash out the effect of the delta A0 parameter. And we were able, okay, this is just a brand new result that I'm not allowed to show the formally. I mean, in the collaboration, you know how it works. So, but I can show the precision that we reached that is at the level 10 to the minus 18 GV for almost all parameters, all four parameters. Okay. And the same was done in the B-meson system. Now the difference is that, okay, you have the B-meson experiencing the same direction because they go in the same direction, but you can look at different flavor, B0, B0 bar, and so you can construct looking an asymmetry that is sensitive to the Z CPT violation parameters. So you look for a dependence like this, and you can have these results. You cannot distinguish in this case between the scalar and the component along the Z direction. That means essentially that in the case of B-meson system, you get a precision on the level 10 to the minus 13 GV.
In one case, you are seeing a positive effect at the
3
sigma level, right?
Yeah, there is, yes. But this is the analysis of half of the data. And I don't know if, because it's quite, I mean, 2008, I don't think that they discovered something. Otherwise. However, yes, there is a, I mean, a 3 sigma effect is, okay. So future plans for this kind of experiment. So the Daphne Collider in Frascati has been upgraded, and there is an upgrade of the Chloe experiment. Now we have a new collaboration, Chloe 2, and we plan to take data for the next 2 or 3 years. And the plan, one of the main issues of the physics program is to do this kind of test in a neutral kaon. The important point I want to underline is the fact that the detector has been upgraded and an inner tracker has been inserted, is going to be inserted in close to the beam pipe, just to improve the resolution on the difference on time. And this will improve the sensitivity around zero, and so the sensitivity on this decoherence and CPT violation tests. And okay, I cannot go in the detail of this table. However, believe me, we will be able with the luminosity here in this case, 20 inverse femtobar, but even with 10 inverse femtobar, to improve almost one order of magnitude the precision of all these parameters. In the case of B factories, there are two projects ongoing, one in Japan and one actually close to Frascati. And okay, in this case, they plan to collect 100 more time luminosity. And okay, actually, the systematics, while with the in the case of the Keon and the Glow experiment, I'm more confident that we'll be able to reach to improve the precision. In the case of B factories, okay, statistically they can improve by an order of magnitude, but the systematics have to be studied. So in conclusion, I hope to have shown that neutral meson systems are quite unique and excellent laboratories for the study of discrete symmetries. For instance, there was also recently first observation of T violation in the B meson system, but in particular CPT symmetry. There are several possibilities to measure CPT violation within quantum mechanics, together with decoherence or Lorentz symmetry violations, and the measurements by Chloe and Babar and Bell have high precision. In some cases, the precision reaches the interesting Planck scale region. For the moment, all results are consistent with no CPT violation, and in the future, there are plans to push forward this kind of tests. Okay, thank you.